John starts off with that which was from the beginning. John's not referring to the beginning of creation. He's not referring to the beginning of the earth. But he's actually referring to Jesus. And it's pointing towards his eternal being, his divinity, and the fact that Jesus is God and that he is from the beginning. And instantly John goes into these senses, these things that he's experienced with Jesus. He says he has heard, he has seen, he has looked upon, and he has touched. So John is giving this evidential sentence about how he's experienced God in a very natural way. And so I want to dive into one of the stories that John, or experiences that John had with Jesus. And this is in John 19, 25 to 27. And that says, But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and his disciple, whom he loved, standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. So we see that John had experienced Jesus at the crucifixion. One of the only disciples to have experienced him in this heart-wrenching way. And you see all the disciples, they had given up basically their lives. They had thrown away what they had to follow Jesus. So we see that John is experiencing something so powerful at the crucifixion. Something that he's so convinced of. That's what's right up here. He's saying that he has heard, he has seen, he has touched with his own hands. And so continuing on, we see that in the passage it says, "Concerning the word of life, life has been manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us." Now this word manifest simply means to be made visible or to appear. So we see that John is saying that Jesus, he had appeared to us, he had made it visible to them, and John had experienced it in such a powerful way. And continuing on, he says that to testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life. So that refers back to my point tonight, that a life that's experienced God results in proclaiming him. That John had experienced it so powerful and so amazing that it was worth testifying to it and proclaiming. You know, I think of the OKC Thunder and how we just won the championship. Yeah, we won. And I think about, you know, that's a big deal for us Oklahomans. We don't believe in much. And so we see that we experience this and we go and proclaim it. Just, you know, in other ways, like my friend Bryce, bro, he was crying. He was in there, he was really quiet tears for one. And he went and he proclaimed it. My friend Eli got it. He was able to fist bump Shed, post another story, he proclaimed it. I had one of my co-workers come into work and say that they met in New York and they proclaimed it. These things that you experience, you go and proclaim. And it's much more powerful when we experience God as a believer, we are called to go and proclaim. See, the thing is, if you're a believer in this room, you have been brought from literal spiritual death to spiritual life. And that's not something that he calls us to keep to ourselves. He calls us to go and proclaim it. And I get it. We have these things like fear, anxiety, fear of rejection, nervousness. And I want to remember a scripture, Acts 5. I really encourage you to read after. And in these verses, throughout the whole chapter, the disciples, they're going out in the streets and they're proclaiming Jesus, they're healing people, they're bringing people over to the Lord, and the high priest, the Sadducees, they get jealous and they throw them in prison. And later on, the Lord is like, "Nah, not today, they're gonna go keep proclaiming me." And so he sends an angel to go deliver them out of prison so that they can go and proclaim the Lord. And guys, this is the same God who delivered them from that prison, the same God here today that can deliver us from our struggles, our anxiety, and our fear of rejection, we're out proclaiming that. And so, as we go through tonight, looking through these things, this fear of rejection and anxiety, knowing the Lord is here and he's with us. And later on in those verses, we see that the disciples, after being delivered from the prison and going out and proclaiming anymore, they literally get charged with being beaten. And you know what happens? They don't say, "Yeah, we shouldn't have done that," like all that stuff. But no, they sit here and they rejoice because they are counted worthy to suffer for Jesus. And the same is true for
us. As Christians, we have experienced something so amazing and so powerful that we have to proclaim it no matter the cost. We live in a freedom state that we can go and proclaim it in our schools and in our families, wherever we go. We can proclaim this gift that has been really given to us. This eternal life, this gospel that has been given to us, we can go and we can go proclaim it. But here's the thing. We can't go and proclaim something that we've only experienced once. God doesn't call us to experience it just 1 week out of the year at Falls Creek, or at Gravity, or one little Bible study throughout the week. No, he calls us to dive into his word daily and pick up our cross daily and experience him daily. And it happens in his word and in prayer. And so my challenge for us tonight, or my question for us tonight, is what are you struggling with? What's holding you back from proclaiming? Because like I said earlier, our God is amazing. He is holy and he is the deliverer. He is here with us. He's the same as he was yesterday. He's the same today. And he's the same forevermore. And so in light of the fear of anxiety and rejection and nervousness, I want to challenge you with this. Your 30 seconds of discomfort could mean something to eternal life. Your 30 seconds of discomfort and nervousness can lead someone to eternal life. And so I pray that we as a youth group can, one, dive into his work daily and experience him daily in and of ourselves, but that we don't keep that inside and we go and proclaim it as a youth group. And that we share his love to the ends of the earth and we testify and proclaim that Jesus is Lord. Now I'm going to invite my friend Mitchell up here to talk about those.
For the word fellowship means means in common, in the sense of being shared by all. This simply means that we have a chance to share and go through life with the Father through the Holy Spirit after the finished work of Jesus, the Son, on the cross. And this kind of shows the Trinity in a way. And it might seem weird that John mentioned having fellowship with us before having fellowship with the Father and the Son. But this is showing back to the invitation part that John wants the readers to see the fellowship that they have with the disciples and see how that fellowship is rooted in God so that others may experience that. So now, with the raising hands, who here has, like, that best friend, you know what I'm saying? Who here has that best friend who just walked through life with always? So you want to, I want you to think of that friend, but also, that friend might be sitting here, that friend might be a family member, or just a best friend in life, maybe it's a relationship. But think about them, but also just think about a friend in life. Think about, maybe you're at school, you see them once or twice a week, maybe at church or at school. You see them, but you don't really talk to them, or you might check up on them once at a time, like send a text, or but you're really not close to them. Now think of that best friend in life. Maybe you call every night, like they do, or maybe you know, like you talk every day or communication with them every day. Maybe you're just thinking about them every day, and just thinking, having the want to talk to them all the time. God desires to be that best friend. That's the reason why he heard us in the first place. He wanted to be our best friend so much that he died on the cross to send his Son so that we could have fellowship with him, even though we sinned against him. He's not just a Savior, but he's a friend we can always count on. And the Lord doesn't want us to do anything for him. He just wants us for us to be his best friend. He doesn't want us, they just have to go back to the altar and the ark and sacrifice him. But we don't have to do that anymore because the sacrifice is Son made on the cross. So just knowing that God desires that relationship with you, I want to ask you, how is your fellowship? First, how is your fellowship with God? Going back to those stories with John and his disciples, it shows that John's disciples wanted to spend time with him. They dropped everything and followed him, whether that was following him with the miracles he did, or just following him and wanting to spend time with him. So I'm asking you, how is your fellowship with God? Some ways you can fellowship with God is reading your Bible every day, or just staying in prayer every day. I know some of y'all might treat God as a friend. Maybe y'all are here in these seats, and maybe you're here Sundays and Wednesdays, but you're still in emotions, or maybe you read your Bible once in a while, but you're not really intentional with it. But God calls us to be his best friend in life. So whether that's again, whether that's staying in his word, being intentional with it, having fellowship with other believers, or staying in prayer. I also want to ask you, how's your fellowship with other believers? There's a verse in Acts, I'm going to read it, Acts 2:42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles, teaching the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So just a little background on this. This is the start of Pentecost, right after. I would recommend reading that as well. Started fellowship. So basically, started the big C church that the Pentecost was. So, and the people now are like, they're on fire for the Lord. They're eating together and their whole lives are changed for him, and they wanted to share that. And verse 42 shows what true fellowship looks like with believers. I want to ask, are we spending time with believers outside of the church in fellowship? Whether that's maybe having a volleyball fellowship, or maybe that's having a little Bible study or a prayer group, are we spending time with others? You're so fortunate to have a youth group that is devoted to having fellowship with one another and pouring into one another. You have so many people, different people from different schools, whether that's UConn or Edmond or Piedmont or Deer Group, anywhere. You have so many different people with different personalities and different gifts. And think of what our schools would look like. Think about what our whole metro would look like if we all had the same mission of sharing Christ's love in our fellowship. Experience with God results in fellowship. So that's all I have. Here's my friend Rob to show you the result. I wish you had it. What's up, everyone? And if I haven't got the pleasure of meeting you, my name is Brock Wagner. I just finished my senior year of high school,
Go Hokes! Results in joy. A life that has experienced God results in joy. Let's go ahead and dive straight into verse 4. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. I want you all to think, what's your favorite dessert? Because personally, I love cookies and cream cake. Like, you'll probably catch me at Chick-fil-A with a cookies and cream milkshake. I love cookies and cream. But can you imagine if you found a secret recipe to that? You made the secret recipe and everything, and you put it in your mouth, and you're like, oh, that is really good. Like, the flavors are on point and everything. And you're sitting there, and you're like, man, I could sit here and eat this whole cake by myself. Or what else could you? You could go share it. That's exactly what John is inviting us to do. He is inviting a church in Ephesus to be a part of this joy. He uses some specific wordage in this verse. He says, we are writing these things. He's talking about God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in himself. It is a united front of you, and you have a special relationship with that. You get the Holy Spirit in your heart. The Lord has given you that joy. And you might be asking yourself, bro, what is joy? Because that's kind of a deep word. It's not, and I did a little bit of looking around for you, don't worry. It is a deep, abiding sense of happiness and contentment originates from a spiritual source rather than an external circumstance. It's not just, oh, I got a promotion at work. Man, that really makes me happy. Because at some point, that's going to go away. Oh, but I just got a new girlfriend or a boyfriend. And, man, it's going really good. But that might end at some point. Or it might be something that a sports team or math or some type of school, you're doing really well at that. But that is not happiness. That is not joy. Joy comes from the Lord, and it is not situational. John is inviting us to be a part of this joy. And let's also go back to what John has experienced. John got to see the ministry of Jesus. He has seen and touched and has seen so many miracles. Seen Jesus feed the 5,000. He has raised people from the dead. Can you imagine if someone was here and they were raised from the dead? Well, but guess what? You have seen that because we just got done with Fall Street. And we saw people go from spiritual death to spiritual life. They now see that. And we have eternity with the Lord, and we have seen that. Isn't that so special? That we get to see people go from spiritual life to spiritual life in eternity. Our joy sets us apart. You know, me and my good friend Max Pace, we went on the North Islands and England trip, and we made it our mission to just try and spread some Southern hospitality. North Islands is very I'm gonna do my thing, you're gonna do your thing, we're not gonna talk, all right. But Max and I were like, nah, Southern hospitality, So we're walking down the street, going to the New Life Baptist Church, which is the church that we partner with. And we say good morning to everyone. And we just wanted to greet everyone. Whether they said it back or not, we kept that on our mission. So we say it to a couple of people, and they say good morning. Some people didn't respond, but that's all right. But there's this one guy that stood out to me. We said good morning to him. And he said good morning to us. But then, as he's walking past us, he flips his head around and says, are you guys the Americans that are in town? Because I guess he heard about us being in town serving the community. And we said, yeah, we're actually in town serving New Life Baptist, helping out the community, doing a few events. And you know,
Something that set us apart was our accent. You know, we talk a little differently here in Oklahoma as it compared to England. The same thing can be told of us of our joy. Our joy sets us apart whenever we walk into a room. People see that we have God's joy in our heart that the Holy Spirit has given us. People want to see what that is. They are attracted to that. There is so much depression, anxiety, sadness. This world is a dark place. But whenever we show our joy and show that to other people, it makes a difference. Like what Mitchell was saying, if we go out to our schools, fellowshipping, and truly changing our schools, it would be much a bigger and brighter place. And as I conclude, I just want to invite the band up here. I want you to kind of, I know this is the time where you put up your Bibles, put up your notes, but I want you to write three things down. Are you proclaiming the gospel? Are you fellowshipping with God and other believers? And are you showing that joy that the Lord has given you? And if you're not, I really want you to think, what are those actions that I need to take? Whether it's, oh, I need to be guiding into my word daily, or it's, oh, I need to be proclaiming the gospel to other people. Because I know there are many people who you see that probably need the gospel. Or is it, oh, I need to show the joy of the Lord that He has given me. This place is a dark place. And as you say, Darren, if you're an unbeliever, first of all, thank you for being here. I want y'all to know that you are loved by us and this whole church family. And if you have any questions about Christianity, you see the joy of the Lord in our hearts, we fellowship together in the Lord's name, and we proclaim the gospel, and you are interested in that because Jesus has died on the cross for you because He loved you so much, and now He dwells in all of our hearts as a believer. I'll be right here, right in front of the stage. If anyone has any questions, and the altar is open for you to dwell on this and for you to come to God at His feet and pray. Let's pray as we go into worship. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for what opportunity it is for the preaching crew, Lord, that we get to preach your name, Lord. Lord, I thank you for what audience we have, Lord, that you put everyone here for a reason, Lord. I pray that as we go into worship, Lord, that you soften our hearts, Lord, that we know the words that we're singing, Lord, in these songs. Lord, I pray that as we go into worship, Lord, that this message will just sit with us, Lord, that it won't just stay here, that it will go outside of these walls. Lord, I pray that we proclaim the gospel. Lord, I pray that we fellowship in your name, Lord. I pray that we show the joy that you have given us. Lord, I pray this all in your name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, stand together and sing the songs of our joy.